The talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk 99.1.
Woohoo! John Potter, Candy Green, Jay Biggs, Week in Nevada with Dr. Fred Simon, who is running for governor, in the studio right now. Fred, I had a big ad card from a candidate stuck by my door. Typical campaign flyer, listing their top five priorities. Very vague promises to fix education, improving health care, senior services, but nowhere near on this card was a priority on fighting crime. In my neighborhood, where suddenly we have homes broken into, I thought that was pretty amazing. Your platform, correcting the lax on crime policies, is like your number two priority. Is it that other politicians don't realize how this threat is increasing? Which it is. It is increasing.
John and I live by one another in the same area. We never had crime.
I've spent most of my life in Reno.
Yeah.
And I've never heard, just down the street, somebody broke in, took the safe and such in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I was heartened to see that as your number two priority, and we'll get to your number one priority. But why are you so passionate about fighting this increase in crime?
Well, first of all, when you look at any problem, you have to go back and have a history of it. You got to look at the trend, and you got to see where you are. So if you look right now, we have a trend of increasing crime for a number of reasons. We can go to education. We have a lot of kids that aren't getting jobs. They're undereducated. They're out on the streets. We have soft DAs and judges. So we're not enforcing the crime issue. We have a significant number of people coming into our country that are undocumented. We have gang issues. They are the franchises for the drugs. Drugs is a huge issue in this country. Fentanyl and OxyContin connected. We've had over thousands of deaths, and it's underreported. And when we look at this, we don't have a plan and a strategy. Now, when we look at the gangs, this has to be handled by federal racketeering laws. These are gang members getting together, organized crime on the street level, and everything goes. And I've been involved in this for 40 years. I mean, I've met, taken care of, talked to, counseled gang members for years. And there's so many different psychodynamic and social issues to this. There's no plan in Nevada, and there's no plan in the United States to address this at that level. And it must be on the forefront. And we've got poverty, uneducated people, immigration issues, all leading to crime. And we, the citizens, get the secondary problems to this. And it costs society a tremendous amount of money.
It does.
I think you can lay this on the foot of the DA or the judge or something right there. That's the gatekeeper. And being released after you commit obvious crimes and such, I don't know. It's like they really don't want to put the effort.
Well, look at how much during COVID they decided to mediate everything. I mean, so they're making agreements. They're not going to court. They're just, everything is outside the courtroom. Like, you know, everything is pled down. How many people are we looking at in the news that have been an offender, have gotten out, and then have committed another heinous act? I mean, when's it going to stop?
Well, see, that's a very important point. The recidivism rate, even if you incarcerate people, what do we do in the prisons? What are we doing to make these people reasonable citizens when they come out? The whole system is broken down. I will tell you, I have been a physician for the prisons for years. The amount of drugs that are inside the prison is unbelievable.
Yeah.
How does it get there? I take care of heroin abscesses on a consistent basis for years of prisoners who come from the prison to the hospital, have to go to the operating room. They're injecting, and they've been injecting for years.
Better question is, where's the media covering it and talking about it?
Where are we as a society recognizing that the system doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then you bring these people back out. I had one guy who's 56 years old, ran one of the gangs in the prison. There are gangs in the prisons.
Right.
He's Hispanic, very willing to talk to me. His entire family survives on the outside based upon the money he makes from the drugs on the inside. And that's not uncommon.
Oh, no, it's all over California. I mean, at least the LA Times, I'll give them some credit. They've been writing about it for about the last 2 years. But again, is it having an impact? No.
Well, look at the candidates who run for office. Look at the special interests money. So, when these people get into office, they're following the band. They're not actively looking at problems, following the history, looking at the trend, finding out where we are, and doing their due diligence. It takes a lot of effort to look at a problem, dissect it down, and start intervening. People are lazy. Why are they all getting rich? And why does this money continue to funnel into politics? That's another issue. We don't solve the problems. So if we continue to elect the same people, special interests, we get just what we deserve.
Top of your website, voter ID. We're talking a simple photo ID with a signature match to vote, like a driver's license. I needed one just to check into my hotel room in Tahoe Thursday, even though it was already paid in full.
Well, if you use Instacart and get cough medicine or whatever is a controlled substance, you have to show them your driver's license when it arrives or else they won't give it to you.
Why isn't every candidate backing voter ID? Dr. Fred Simon, you have this, I guess your number one priority is the first thing you're going to tackle if you're elected as governor, huh?
What we need to do as a society is to have faith and trust in the basis of our republic, and that's elections. And there is no faith in elections. If you go around the state, I've been to 18 different towns and cities, everybody says the same thing. I may not vote because my vote doesn't count. I don't trust it. Democrats as well. 77% of Democrats want voter integrity.
I think they did a poll on the public, and it's like 80% were supporting voter ID.
I say it every week. My mom still didn't vote, and she voted. She voted right next to me in 2020. So you can't find her, though, when you can look on the Secretary of State's website that you can see that you voted. She still doesn't show up.
Well, here's what alarmed me. My story. Sorry, Fred.
No, that's okay.
At my apartment complex, I lived by Virginia Lake, I went to the mailroom. Mm-hmm. There was a pile of ballots. Well, you go to mailroom of any apartment complex, there's slobs. I mean, there's all the flyers.
No, everything's
left over. Supermarket ads.
Everybody
and everything
takes out and throws down.
Right. Yep. So on the floor of the mailroom, there's all these ballots.
I know.
I should have taken a picture of.
You should have.
Go for it, Fred.
Well, I got to tell you the other thing. People say, well, we're disenfranchising people. Okay, for every illegal vote, you disenfranchise every legal vote. So I take it the opposite way. People who vote honestly, they're disenfranchised by the corruption. Now, WIF people can't come to the polls. I actually think that we have to have voting day as a holiday. We've got Martin Luther King Day. We got President's Day, Memorial and Veterans Day for those who fought for this precious right. Let's have a holiday. If you want to vote, go to the polls. If you can't, for about $10, you can send a mobile notary. It's going to be a minimal number of people, but you got to tell me who you are.
Well, basically, you make things, the easier it is to fraudulently do something. I mean, it used to be the attitude toward voting was like your duty to be there on election day. And they've always had absentee ballots. I mean, you could sign up for those.
For years.
Right.
Before my grandmother passed away, we used to get her one. Came to the house. She voted. She sent it back in. All was good.
It's early November. Put on a coat. Go to the polls. Okay. Fill out your paperwork.
And mow the lawn.
And mow the darn lawn.
Dr. Fred Simon, you're going to be at the big Reclaim Nevada event with dozens of other candidates at Washoe City Sunday. I am the MC.
Can we plug Dos Amigos Ranch, please? My friends that own Dos Amigos Ranch. Hello, girls. How are you?
Okay, so Fred, what time are you on stage? Did they tell you?
2:55.
Okay. Well, it's going to be my pleasure to introduce you at Reclaim Nevada tomorrow at Washoe City. Dr. Fred Seibin, running for governor. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you both.
Nice seeing you.
Have a great day.
You too.
We'll see you at happy hour at your awesome restaurant.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. It's Weekend Nevada. John Potter, Candy Green, and Jay Biggs out in Carson City.
Nice.
And 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Talk. Stay with us at Lawson, Mayor of Sparks, up next.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Welcome back to Weekend Nevada on this gorgeous Saturday. Outstanding. 80 degrees, I heard. This will be the first 80 we've had.
That's why there were all the garage sales on the way over.
In supposed to be 82.
I'm John Potter, Candy Green.
Ooh.
And oh, hi, Jay.
Hey.
What'd you say?
82.
82 today.
Wow, it just keeps getting better.
No,
wasn't it like 28 yesterday?
Not our age. Yeah, it was cold yesterday. I know because I had a serape on.
How many times have I had people say the tomato plants are just gone?
Candy, I got to ask you, what's a serape?
Yeah, it's like a poncho.
Oh, okay.
It's her trademark.
It's my trademark. I have trademarks. Okay,
Candy
I have to
Serape.
Be easy to identify. There you go.
That could have been your on-air name.
I could be
Candy Serape.
Yeah, I could. I could be like
that
Clint Eastwood.
That is cool.
I could be Clint Eastwood. Da 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 da. Whatever that. We'll have to figure out what that theme song was.
Hey,
okay?
Whatever you want to identify as. Whatever you want to identify as.
Fistful of Dollars. You know, when he's like, yeah.
All right. In the studio with us is Sparks Mayor Ed Lawson. Hi, Ed.
How are you, sir?
Good. The city of Sparks' population went up about 20% in the past decade. Soon, if it hasn't already, the population in Sparks is going to pass 110,000 residents. You realize that you're restricted to where you can grow, and I think that was the thinking behind Victorian Square. You built up instead of out at Victorian Square, which is compared to the old B Street days, is like a metropolis. How's it working out there?
It's actually pretty wonderful. We're going to have roughly 5,000 people living in a 6-square-block area, which really creates its own vibe. And with the amphitheater, the Nugget Amphitheater there, it makes it a really cool entertainment district where you can walk around, go to restaurants, and catch a concert and just have fun.
It is alive. But you are here for one specific purpose. And that is to get more land to set up housing for folks. And here's what's surprising to me. So there is a limit as to how far you can extend Vista Boulevard, apparently, because it's extended pretty far out there.
Vista actually ends at the border of Sparks.
Okay. So it does.
Yep.
So then what's behind Where Vista ends.
La Posada is the northernmost border of Sparks, and that is county out past that to the north.
Okay.
And after all those new apartments at Legends, I mean, wow, what area is next for this kind of incredible growth in Sparks?
So one of the things that we're talking about that's very heavily in our planning here is creating city centers. And you're seeing what a city center would look like in the infancy of what we have on Victorian Square. We're also looking at along the river to take our river back. You know, every city in America would love to have a river run through it. Sparks has tilt-up concrete on it.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's not a good use of it. Between I-80 and the river and all the way from the side to side of Sparks border, less than 100 people live in that area.
Really? I never knew that.
Less than 100 people are taking up some of the best real estate in the world that, you know, with people all over America would love to have. So we want to create a city center there. We also want to create a city center in the Audi Boulevard, which is now under construction with a complete street that will
link
Audi and Wells And the majority of our Hispanic population is along Audi, and the majority of Reno's Hispanic population. So we're creating a connection between the two communities.
That's right. I noticed this, Candy, on Audi, right across from the old Kmart, all these brand new apartment buildings.
Isn't that the generator out there, too? Didn't they move? And
they
did. Yeah.
They did.
And don't they have, like, some kind of agreement with Disney now? So I think there's a lot taking place there.
There was Jeremy Renner had a show that he did there. You'll see that on Disney Channel here soon, but they did that for about 6 months out there, 6 weeks. I can't remember exactly, but
it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. It's good for us, good for the region to get some publicity.
Yeah, because they only drove through Reno, then they ended up in Sparks, which technically
the west side of that building is the border of Reno.
Oh, really?
It's,
that's interesting.
It's that close. Yeah,
I've heard so many people say we really need housing near USA Parkway. We have thousands of people working there, and it's going to get even bigger. Is this possible to have it on housing off I-80 east of Vista Boulevard? I mean, it's just...
The short answer is no.
And why not?
Services, mostly. Why are you going to service that? Because you got Story County across the road.
Right.
And you put it in Washoe County. How do I provide police and fire and sewer and all the things that go along with that to build on our side? So you literally have to have a large tract of land to make it work. Thus, the lands bills formation and what I've been pushing really hard for the last year plus is to have a BLM auction where we have roughly 40,000 acres to the east of Sparks in the BLM property that we could bring in an auction. Now, it sounds like a lot of land, except for the fact that not all of it is developable. There's an area of environmental concern, which is 7,500 acres. And then you got slopes greater than 30%, which is probably another 10,000 to 15,000. So, you know, at the end of the day, you end up with around 20,000, roughly, acres that are developable. But that's where we'd like to put our industrial.
And you're even looking at a new highway. The traffic on USA Parkway, you see a solution in a new highway that would go from La Posada to USA Parkway. Is that
correct? Correct. And that right now, just referring to it as a northwest connector. But that road, we had DRI do a environmental study on it. If we get 10,000 cars a day on that road, we save 25 tons of carbon emissions daily.
Oh, yeah. It's
huge.
I believe that.
I believe that in a minute because I hate driving to Fernley now because it's so hard to get back and forth. I mean, it's backed up.
And what we want to do, and I sit on the RTC board too, is connect Lemon Drive over to either Hungry Valley or La Posada and make that commute for all those folks. So there's an interesting statistic to start with. 50,000 jobs in Story County. 4,200 residents, 80% of the people that work in Story County live with us in Reno and Sparks, and 80% of that 80% lives north of I-80. So roughly 35,000 people are coming from the North Valleys and traveling out to Story County every single day.
Well, because of the affordability of those houses back in the day, probably.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, we are horrifying a lot of people. Because there are a lot of people who don't want any more growth at all.
Well, you know, guys,
what do you say to them, Ed?
Let me talk about this real quick.
Jay.
Because last week we had the girl from, was it District 4 that was on? And she was saying there's no growth plan for north of Parr Boulevard on 395. So we need something, you know, as far as...
was Megan Ebert.
Right. And she was talking about how we need that, that funnel of traffic to, you know, be a little bit lighter in the North Valleys because of all that, development that's going in. That actual connector from Lemon over to La Posada would help a lot of that.
Yeah, that would be huge.
And at the same time, when we build this road, we'd put in a purple pipe, which is effluent water. You know, they have a little flooding issue out there at Swan Lake. We can sell that water now downstream to Story County. Drop it in the industrial area of Sparks. You know, the water goes from a liability to an asset. And so there's a lot of good things. We've already talked to the power companies and all the utilities. All the utilities will be put in at the exact same time. So this road, widening I-80 is about $1.5 billion. If we build this road, we're looking at somewhere $400 or $500 million, roughly a third of the cost.
Well, and also what we were talking about last week is when we're widening 80, we're just going to have to, is that whatever road that is that goes out there that I take to Lemon Valley, they're doing that now, but we're just going to have to redo it again as soon as they're done with it.
And unfortunately, you've got to come to the center of town to go east or west.
But this connector would
solve that issue.
Solve all those. Yeah, really would.
Ed, I got to say this about you. You are a big man with big plans. Really?
Well, you know, it's something at the end of the day, John, as you know, a mayor doesn't make very much money.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it to get rich for sure.
No.
But at the end of the day, I want to be able to sit in my courtyard and say I did the best I could do for my city.
All right. Sparks Mayor Ed Lawson is with us. John Potter, Candy Green. This is Weekend Nevada. Hang with us at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We're going to break for Fox News and talk to you again in just a couple of minutes.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
Weekend Nevada on the air every Saturday from 9 to noon with your good friends John Potter, Candy Green, Jay Biggs out in Carson City. Our guest right now is Sparks Mayor Ed Lawson. Kind of a head-spinning tale he just told us about plans for further growth in the area.
Yeah.
And there is, as I mentioned, a big contingent of people who want it to stop right here. Now, I first came to town in 76, and there's a part of me, Ed, that really hates to see the changes. And you have to admit, it really has changed in Reno and Sparks both. The whole character has changed. Nothing we can do about it, of course, but when does it all stop? I guess it really doesn't.
Or should it? There's a bigger question. Should it stop?
Now, there are water concerns. People are worried about water. Tumwa will say, not to worry that we have the water. I don't completely buy that. To me, it's a matter of simple mathematics when you raise the population that much with water needs.
Well, let's ask the mayor.
Mayor Ed Lawson, what do you say?
Well, one of the things that Tumwa has done very, very well is they purchased a lot of lakes in California. So right today, they just did a study not too long ago, and they ran the 8 worst drought years over the last 60 years back to back to back for 20 years. We still don't run out of water. So we have plenty of water in. Water out, different story. We have a 65-year-old sewer plant that is literally close to capacity. We're finding different ways to put Band-Aids on it, but to put a new sewer plant together, you're about $1 billion, and divide that by 400,000 residents. That's a big tax bill. So we're trying to figure out how to do that. We're hoping that the federal government will come with some money to help us out. But that's going to be our next issue is water out. So when your toilet quits flushing, I'm going to be the first person that you call.
Okay. Water supply, though. They always say, with the past droughts, we had this and this, and we have this lake and everything like that. Well, are there projections the way the population is rising as rapidly as it is?
884-9910. FM News Talk 99.1.
Ahern Rentals and Hardware invite you to their open house and free barbecue Friday and Saturday, May 13th and 14th from 10 to 3. There'll be raffles every hour, scavenger hunts, vendor showcase. Ahern Rentals and Hardware is your one and done stop. Big projects made easy with all the equipment you need.
Now we don't.
AJ, you okay?
Are we live?
Yeah, everything's good now. Sorry about that. That was actually my fault.
Don't worry. Okay. Then we can go back to
what was
mayor.
I saying? I was griping about water supply.
Mm-hmm. And okay, sorry.
So the bottom line is we can build 50,000 more houses right now with the water supply we have. So we have lots of time to grow, 10 years or more to grow before we have to worry about water in. We will long run out of sewer capacity before we run out of water coming in. So that's the issue that we're addressing. Sparks runs the sewer plant in partnership with Reno. We're a one-third, two-thirds, Reno's two-thirds partners. And that's the issue that literally keeps us up at night.
So the sewer plant is what we should all be worrying about far more than the water?
Correct.
Interesting. And why don't we hear about any of that?
I guess just because it's sewer, you know, it's,
well, yeah,
one, it's not
sewer
glamorous.
Sexy, yeah. You got it. Yeah,
it isn't glamorous, yeah. And it's not something that you really talk about unless your toilet doesn't flush.
Oh, and believe me, that's my greatest fear. I mean, just saying, okay, well, when you, we live in a house with only one bathroom. It's an
they
old
did.
1930s brick.
Well,
so that is
thanks
your
for bringing
fear.
That up, Candy.
I know, just saying.
Okay, any other priorities? Now we have to worry about the sewer and if we're going to get this land for further growth. And if you do get the swap, and I guess the only way people can help if they want to succeed on this project, Ed, they have to contact their Congress.
Yep.
Congress, right? Okay.
Contact their Congress and senators and let them know that you're in favor of it.
What are we swapping for?
In essence, what we're doing is you auction the land off. So we put up by parcel what's up for auction, or let's say you want a particular parcel, you say I want to bring this to auction,
right?
And I mean, then the three of us would bid on that, and the highest bidder then would take that property
the computer,
and it would get developed. It'll all be annexed into the city of Sparks.
So you're saying Vista can go even further
about it, but
Vista goes more south, but
north south
Uaposada could go all the way.
Craig's on the phone, turn the wide orbit pod on
all the way over to USA Parkway.
So all right, I got
heard
you.
Back from him yet.
No, I don't.
No, I do, and actually, I'm really bad at directions, so I get where you're going.
That's right.
So
you should have brought us some Google Map here.
Yeah, you should come to my office sometime. I have
you
three
got
maps.
Up?
Yeah, I have. They're 4 foot tall by 15 feet long. So, I look at maps a lot.
So basically, you want to take most of that and turn that into industrial.
Correct. All that to the east of Sparks.
So then the industrial that you have now, would you take that and put that into housing?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The idea is to put a housing overlay in our current industrial so that if you bought a property down there and you say couldn't develop it for 5 or 10 years, it would still have that housing overlay. So we can't take that away from you.
Right.
So and that's how we're going to encourage it. It's not going to happen overnight, obviously. This is a decades-long vision. But the bottom line is we got to start someplace.
Well, when we have a regional plan, because don't we have that whole regional planning group, what have they planned out to? What do we plan through?
They don't plan on BLM. I sit on that board also.
Okay.
So what we have is there's tiers or zones of what development is, and that currently is not tiered or zoned out to the east.
Okay.
It will be when it comes in.
Okay.
But it at this point, it's not.
So lands bill-wise, what do you think timing on? I mean, are we trying to have that happen now?
If we don't get it this year, we're 2 years away.
Wow.
If we don't get it in 2 years, we're 4 years away. So the longer we wait, the worse it's going to be. And here's the real issue in all this. We are out of land. Just that's plain and simple. You can't find a 10-acre parcel anymore. So, and the infill is what we're going to go to, which means we're going to go up.
Right.
So all this BLM that surrounds Reno and Sparks and Washoe County might as well be ocean. This will become San Francisco. As we go up, prices of housing gets more expensive. We don't have the luxury of the wind blowing through here every day. Our air quality is deteriorating rapidly. So, I'm standing up here being doom and gloom, but I think there's... We have a plan, I think, that will work.
Okay, well, let's say something fun and nice about Sparks.
Well, I love Victorian Square.
Okay, I love the marina.
The
Sparks Water Bar opened a couple of months ago, and that's quite an awesome deck and such.
It's lovely.
Where you can have a drink and not worry about land bills.
Didn't you just have a fundraiser there?
I did.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely gorgeous place. Tom Turner is one of a delightful person.
What was the fundraiser for?
He's running for mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, again already. Okay.
How's that time went fast.
How's that going?
It's going well. It's going very well. Obviously, you get to talk about the lands bill a lot.
Yeah, you have a great sign. Your sign is just really simple. I love nowadays in campaigns, they want to put War and Peace on the sign.
Yeah.
It's just like, hi, Ed Lawson, elect me mayor.
Hey there, Craig.
You're good. Check. Yeah, don't you
simple.
Have a check mark?
I do, and the O in Lawson. That's one of my logos.
And you don't drink coffee, which amazes me. Not at all, huh?
Nope. I used to 30, 40 years ago, but no longer.
No, I'm just saying I don't.
They say if you drink 42 cups of coffee, the caffeine overdose would kill you. And all that tells me is, okay, 41's a limit.
Well, there
I can
go
that far. In college days, I would hang out with my friends at the local Pizza Hut drinking coffee because Pizza Hut offered unlimited coffee refills. I don't know if you remember that.
Is that why
Pizza
you like,
Hut, of all
is,
places.
Is that why you like Pizza Hut so much?
And we had a coffee shop, I think it was in Sparks in the 70s, and it was called Jitters.
Was there really a coffee shop in Sparks?
It was named after the awful after effects of the product you're selling.
I think that's fabulous. I think you should bring that back. John, you might have to own a coffee shop.
Ed was also in the audience of one of my speeches, Sparks Rotary.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And Candy was at one of my speeches this week.
I was.
Reno Optimist Club. Well, Candy?
You were funny, John. It was a lovely speech. I thought that was very well done, very nice.
Only one person walked out.
That's true, but she had to leave.
No, are you sure?
Yeah. She was apologizing on the way out. When he was at Rotary, did anybody leave?
I don't think so. But, you know, if this doesn't work out for him, he's got a stand-up career.
He's got a gig, doesn't he? Yeah,
he's got
a
stand-up career.
See, I thought she walked out because I said in my speech, I said Hubert Humphrey was cool.
No, she walked out because she had a job.
But it was right then.
I know she did. I know you did take offense to the Hubert Humphrey moment, but no, not the case.
A true story, Ed, because while my classmates were into the Beatles, I was into Hubert Humphrey, ultimate nerd.
Hubert Humphrey was a nice man.
He was my kind of politician.
Mm-hmm.
He was extremely positive, and no matter how bad things were going, and the demonstrators were just brutal.
They hated him.
During the Vietnam War, he believed in the good heart of Americans. He says, "I believe every American has a good heart," and I've just always tried to follow that philosophy, and I miss that optimism in politics now.
Oh, but see, we have somebody, Ed's really optimistic, except for the sewer plant.
I like it when my toilet flushes, personally.
There you go.
This is
I'm
a selfish motive
I
for
am
me.
With you. Okay?
Hubert Humphrey never talked about sewer plant.
Yeah, but he didn't have to worry about them. See, I like that Ed stays up nights worried about the sewer plant because it worries me now.
Doesn't Reno have the same sewer plant problem? Because
we're partners.
Okay, now I heard the sewer pipes were basically disintegrating around downtown Reno. Have you heard this?
I have not heard that.
But they're that old.
I have heard that.
Yeah, right. I know
that in Sparks we've gone through and replaced many of ours because they are so old. They're 60, 70 years old.
Yeah.
And so I really haven't paid attention to Reno.
So now, what would be the first thing you would do when you're reelected?
Well, I think the biggest part is we have to figure out how to grow. And I'd really like to change the property tax system so that we don't have to grow at a breakneck speed. When we build a house, at about 5 years, that house starts losing money to the city.
Right.
Because you get your 1.5% depreciation, and then you throw in inflation on top of that. At about 5 years, I need to replace that house with another one.
Yeah.
So you can see, I mean, every 5 years, I got to replace a home. So if you have a spurt and you grow more than one home, one for one, then you have to replace at a double. So Vegas is experiencing this right now, where their growth is exponential.
Yeah.
And we see where their problem is water in.
They have a large problem. I wonder how many people they're going to find in Lake Mead that have been thrown in there, you know, like the person that they found. Oh, John, you have someone floating in the lake? Just saying. Okay.
Not floating.
Okay. Or buried, whatever, in an oil drum or whatever. Yeah.
Write
it down. Just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Jimmy Hoffa's in Lake Mead. Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you what about Vegas. And I just noticed our median home price in Reno Sparks is what now, Candy? $525,000?
I thought it was almost $600,000.
Okay. All right. But I just looked at the Vegas median home price, and it's like $300,000-something.
Well,
that's not fair.
Hidalgo just did an article, so I didn't pay that close of attention to it. But
I didn't see it in this article, but I just saw the number, and that's a big disparity. Well, of course, Vegas has always been kind of a little cheaper than Reno for rents and homes.
Well, they also have more urban sprawl than we. I mean, they have a lot more houses, a lot more people, but also Sparks has caught up to City of Reno prices.
I think we're still 50,000 less on the median, but that's always tell everyone. If you want to save 50,000 on a house, move to Sparks.
Well, see, I think Sparks is more of a community than Reno.
They moved on, Ed. Now they're talking go to Fernley. And,
yeah, there's that.
You know,
but I still come back to, I think Sparks
You're very expensive, Ed.
Sparks is more of a community than I think Reno is.
I think we try to be a family-oriented community, and that's how we make our decisions in Sparks. Is it going to be good for families? Mm-hmm. And we're not talking just one family. We're talking all types of families. You know, gay, black, white, Muslim, doesn't matter. We want you to raise your kids in a safe environment in Sparks, and that's how we make our decisions.
That's the goal.
Also, you guys are nice to one another on the council. Just throwing that out there. Just couldn't let them be here without saying they're nice.
All right. We'll be back on Weekend Nevada with John Potter and Candy Green, Jay Biggs, and, of course, Sparks Mayor Ed Lawson at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio, the original social media, KKFT.
Hi, Weekend Nevada, John Potter, Candy Green, and Sparks Mayor Ed Lawson on the air for just the next couple of minutes. Candy just checked, and the median, this blows my mind, the median home price in Reno, what?
$630,000.
What?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
It's in the Reno Gazette Journal. Jason Hidalgo, who's the real estate expert, wrote about it. It was on May 10th.
What? How did it go from 530 to 6?
Keep working in that yard, John, because you think about
Ed,
I mean, yeah.
This is unbelievable. Now, what's the median in Sparks?
I believe Candy just looked it up at 550.
Right.
So it's $80,000 cheaper to come live with us.
Yeah.
Can you use the word cheaper when you're talking over $500,000?
Well, it's like though, you know, it's like when everybody keeps talking about how upset they are about growth, we need some growth to get houses so that.
But when does it end?
it
will keep rising.
I know,
still.
But it's like, you know, I live in a house that's now worth $780,000 and it has one bathroom. Come on.
Amazing. I came back to Reno in 2001 and we looked at a house on Arlington and the lady says she wanted $280,000. And I said, are you kidding me?
Oh, I know. It's shocking. I mean, I drove by one of my old houses the other day and they want $1.2 million for it. And I was upset when we paid $280,000
for it. It's all extremely unfair because the bulk of this, I don't know, maybe it's not the bulk, but there are too many Californians who made the big retirement fund or whatever they have, all their money brought here and are taking advantage of the much cheaper real estate compared to California.
Right.
And hey guys. Buying up what the locals should have. Yes, Jay.
Let me chime in on this just real quick, because I always said, you know, if you're living in the Bay and you have like a 2-bedroom condo and it's $1.5 million, when the housing market was down a little bit, you could move to Reno and essentially go from just paying your bills there and living to, you know, buying a $500,000 home in the best neighborhood possible, buying a couple Escalades, and you still have $700,000 in the bank. You just became rich by moving. That's all you had to do.
And why are they leaving California? It's because of the government policies and everything. So we are paying for the sins of the
policies.
Awful state government in California. This is why people are leaving.
It's known as state tax. I mean, think of the state tax in California. The house I grew up in is now worth $8 million in California. That's insane.
But because of their bad policies, that's why they're all coming here. And see, we're paying the price. We're paying the price of that, and that's why it's so incredibly unfair.
Yeah. So,
I mean, California at one time was a gorgeous place.
I grew up.
My first girlfriend was in Santa Ana, And I used to fly out and see her in 1976, and it was an awesome place.
Born and raised. My grandparents went through the earthquake in 1906. I mean, yeah, just they remembered it. It was always kind of fun to talk to them about it. But it's insane.
The place is still beautiful. It's still gorgeous. It's just, you know, people get thresholded. I mean, just like yourself, you're Northern Nevadans, right? So, like, even if the prices go up, are you going to stay or are you going to move just because the prices go up?
I'll say it's still got the ocean. That's all I'll say about it.
Right.
John's only into the ocean. So if we could cut off California, you know, then we would have, you know, we would
Ed,
have
you
the
taking
ocean.
Notes? Yeah.
Maybe that big earthquake's going to happen they keep talking about where California just falls
That's
off.
That's it.
The
West. Yeah. See, I want to go back to to Ed though on the river. You said something that highly resonates with me. We have this incredible river, and we're not really doing much with it. And you guys in Sparks have some of the best river land. I mean, it's nice and flat. It's good looking. Nice big river.
Well, you got your eyes on it, I guess.
I do. I would live there if they built something along the river. I would buy it.
Well, Ed, I'd love to hear your answer, but we have to break for Fox News top of the hour. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. You just take it easy, my friend, and you relax. I mean, these are very urgent and alarming issues, but
Ed is the most relaxed person we've ever had on the air with us who's a mayor.
He's a big, stable guy.
Yeah.
And good luck on the reelection, my friend.
Thank you.
You've never been called big and stable, huh?
I've been called worse.
Thanks for coming on.
I think
we
this morning it happened this morning.
Right. We appreciate you being on with us. We're going to have you back on, too. We'll talk more lands, Bill, and
All right, this is Weekend Nevada at 99.1 and 92.3. Plenty to come, so stick with us.